when you see a 2 kilometre net and you just go, hang on, this guy's just taken out that whole area for Easter when thousands and thousands of tourists are going down to the Mornington Peninsula to have a great weekend's fishing. It's kind of like, hey, we want that guy gone.
Today on Dirty Linen, we are sticking with the topic of seafood in Victoria and particularly talking about Port Phillip Bay. Today's guest is David Kramer. David is a recreational fisher. He owns tackle stores. He hosts a radio show on 3MP where they talk fishing every weekend. David, welcome to Dirty Linen. So great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's seafood is such a huge, complex topic. I feel like you could, well, as you've discovered, you can talk about fishing your whole life, right?
Yeah, and I'm a lover of seafood, always have been too. So, you know, it's kind of one of the last things in life that you can go out and hunt yourself, if you like, or catch yourself. And it's a delicacy. I mean, seafood is good tasting food.
Yeah, and so healthy as well. Put us in the picture, like, what is the recreational fishing scene like in Victoria and what's your part in it?
Yeah, look, I play a few other roles too. I run an organisation called Future Fish Foundation, and that's an organisation, not-for-profit. We set up about 20 years ago. Rex Hunt actually set it up, and we're all for, I guess, conservation and we're actually a registered environmental organisation as well, but we're a big promoter of fishing and work closely with the Victorian government to promote fishing and make fishing better. And I've got to say, I might be biased because I'm a Victorian, but I'd have to say fishing in Victoria is probably better than anywhere in Australia. And what I mean by that is the access to fisheries is fantastic. We have fisheries that are in really, really good condition. So, you know, we have closed seasons on a couple of species, but it's really to protect the breeding. It's not because, you know, those species are hard to catch or endangered or anything like that. It's really to protect that breeding cycle, but it's only a few species. So pretty much most of the species in Victoria are available, you know, all year round. And then I go, we have got world-class fishing for certain species. So we've got world-class calamari fishing, for instance, the biggest, the best, the most abundant. We've got world-class southern bluefin tuna fishing. We've got, I'd say, world-class flathead fishing. And I know they're not worldwide, but, you know, some of our fisheries, particularly around Gippsland, where the dusky flathead are absolutely, abundant now, They're protected by slot limits. So, you know, there's a minimum and a maximum size. You know, you can catch, I reckon, the biggest dusky flathead in Australia in Victoria now. You know, so we're in good nick.
It's such an interesting space. I mean, you speak about, you know, that you work closely with government and you've got this, Future Fish organisation as well. How organised a lobby group and how large a lobby group are recreational fishers?
That's a really good question because I'd almost say we're disorganised in a funny way. Fishing's so diverse. So you've got your trout fishers and you've got your native fish fishers and you've got your game fishers and then you've got, you know, your average person who loves going out on the bay and catching some whiting or flathead or snapper, you know. So they're actually, you know, fishermen or fisher people are really a diverse group of people, you know, and you do something, you know, if a government does something wrong in the trout scene, all the trout anglers get up in arms, but the snapper fishermen don't really care, you know. So it can be disorganised in a way, but then at the same time, fishers have been pretty vocal, and particularly, you know, if you're talking seafood, almost against commercial fishing. And, you know, I'd say that's based around probably commercial fishing practices, if anything. It's certainly not a sustainability issue. It's more around the practice. And, and that's why, you know, in Victoria we've seen nets banned in most of our bays and inlets now.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting. So how do you distinguish between sustainability and practices? Like, what are some of the practices of the commercial fishers that you've seen as a problem?
Yeah, look, mostly it's around the interaction. And I guess secondly, it's you know, damage to the environment or fish stocks that is not a good look, you know. And I'm not saying every commercial fisherman's like that, but I honestly believe, you know, as time's gone on and I reflect back on, you know, what's happened probably over the last 15 years mainly, is that maybe a couple of bad operators have spoiled it for the rest, you know. And when I say that, you know, and I've had a personal experience. You know, when you go down to the beautiful Mornington Peninsula, which is a you know, a great part of Victoria, and you go down there on a, you know, a Friday of Easter, and you're setting up your camp on the foreshore there, and you look out and there's a guy who's got a 2 kilometre net on Easter Friday when all the tourists are arriving, and he's wiping out that whole fish population. And look, there's enough fish in the sea for everybody, but you know, that temporarily depletes that whole area. And when you see a 2 kilometre net and you just go, hang on, this guy's just taken out that whole area for Easter when thousands and thousands of tourists are going down to the Mornington Peninsula to have a great weekend's fishing, it's kind of like, hey, we want that guy gone. You know, that's not a good look. And then the other side to it is, you know, when you see these commercial fishers sorting the fish out their nets and they're throwing all the juvenile dead pinkies to pelicans, that's not a good look. Now, not everyone's like that, and you know, but it's the that was really the driver, that practice and the interaction between recreationals and commercials that saw the recreational sector lobby to get rid of nets in bays and inlets.
Why wouldn't the recreational sector and indeed good practitioners among the commercials just lobby for better regulation and better practices, given that you say there are enough fish for everybody?
Yeah, look, that's happening now. So, and it's too late for a lot of commercial fishers in the bays and inlets, because we've seen some small bays and inlets like Lake Tyres and Mallacoota, you know, they're relatively small systems. But then the bigger ones like Western Port, Gippsland Lakes, Port Phillip Bay, you know, they're the big ones where all the nets have now been removed, or 1st of April the nets get removed from Port Phillip Bay. But the problem was, and these have come from, I think it was the 2000, I'm going back a little bit here, but the 2010 election, 2014, 2018, they were all, you know, bipartisan support. Both major parties promised to get rid of the nets from different, you know, areas. And the problem was the recreationals and the commercials didn't talk and didn't want to talk, couldn't talk. They were at wars with each other, and it was kind of like the bigger party won. Whereas wind the clock forward to 2021, in fact, I'd say 2020, the commercial sector down at Corner Inlet, which is Victoria's last bay and inlet net fishery, they came to the recreational sector and said, hey, we don't want to be like the rest of the bays and inlets. We want strict regulations, strict rules. We think we're already working under them anyway, but we can tweak them. And we want to work with the recreational sector to survive for generations to come. And now wind the clock forward to 2022, and both sectors work really, really well together. And my personal experience with that is, like, I do have a radio show on 3MP every Saturday morning called Talking Fishing, and I actually have a netter on that program every Saturday morning telling us what he catches in his nets and what restaurants and shops you can buy his fish in, you know. And it's a really different relationship now than it was, you know, a decade or so ago.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I've had the privilege of going down to Corner Inlet on one of those purseine net boats and watching how carefully they catch the fish, you know, each fish brought in by hand. And if it's not something that they want to catch or they're allowed to catch, then it goes straight back into the water. It seems like a very specific and gentle style of commercial fishing. So it's really interesting. It's almost like you're saying it was personal. Like, there was how many net fishers in Port Phillip Bay were there? Was only like around 40, right? So it sounds like there were these 40 guys who perhaps some of them were fishing in places that didn't suit everybody at certain times, or perhaps their practices weren't up to scratch at times. Instead of working together as you say has been done at Corner Inlet, it's just like, yeah, they were just all told they had to stop.
Yeah, that's exactly how it worked. You know, yeah, there was 43 guys operating in Port Phillip. Now, there's 18 guys working at Corner Inlet. And for more than 20 years, they've worked under a code of conduct. And things like they stop fishing, they have to be off the water 5 o'clock on a Friday. They're not allowed back on the water until 5 o'clock Sunday evening. They're only allowed to do 2 shots per day. They're only allowed to have 1 set of gear in the water at any one time. So they can't go and set a mesh net and then go off and do a seine shot, for instance. They, you know, and that's the reason why. Now, I only saw that code of conduct 2 years ago when we started working with that sector, but they've been operating under that for 20-odd years, but not all of them were. So there was a few guys that weren't operating under that code of conduct, and it was a voluntary code of conduct. But through working with, you know, they came to the rec sector. The rec sector, together with those guys, went to the Victorian Fisheries Authority, and now those that code of practice is now in regulation, and so all 18 of them have to abide by those rules. And there is zero noise. You know, there's zero interaction, zero noise from the rec sector to say, hey, these guys have got to go. And so those guys have actually secured their industry for generations to come, and they're good guys. They're good operators. And, you know, hindsight's a great thing. If that had only happened in some of the bigger bays and estuaries, we'd still have a lot of commercial fishing in Victoria.
This is such an interesting conversation, David, because, I mean, so do you now think that the decision to ban net fishing in Port Phillip Bay is misguided?
No, I don't. No, I know you can't, you know, I wouldn't say that, because it's taken the awakening, I guess, of what's happened in the rest of Victoria to kind of make Corner Inlet what it is today. You know, there's no doubt there was guys in Port Phillip Bay who went and bought Corner Inlet licenses, you know, and I don't know if they were thinking that's the next big buyout and they're going to get a payout again. I don't know if that's the reason why they did that. I think some of them did. But there's going to be no buyout. There's going to be no cessation of commercial netting. No, not in my time anyway, because I actually lobby for those guys now. And, you know, but Victoria, I mean, recreational fishing's growing. Boats are getting bigger. You know, the population certainly was growing pre-COVID in Victoria. And so, you know, now, like I'll go back to the conversation 10 minutes ago, we've got the best fishery in Australia, I think.
Yeah, like we may well have the best fishery in Australia, but like for myself, I'm not a recreational fisher. I don't really have any recreational fishers, you know, dropping a couple of flatheads on the doorstep early in the morning. I feel upset that I've lost access, that I'm losing access to some of the seafood out of the bay that's on my doorstep.
Yeah, that is a great point. There's a lot of people that don't go fishing, don't want to go fishing, don't like fishing, and that is a fair point about having access to seafood. And I guess I've got a solution to that, whether a Victorian government will listen to me or not, but I do have a solution to that. And again, it gets back to the practice. Now, the Victorian Fisheries Authority have already started issuing line caught permits around Victoria. They haven't done it in Port Phillip Bay yet, but that's something that I'm going to work with Seafood Industry Victoria, and hopefully the commercial sector through Seafood Industry Victoria and the rec sector can go to both major parties. We've got an election this year, and I want them to commit to issuing line caught permits so commercial fishing returns to Port Phillip Bay. And it's about the practice. So then all of a sudden you've got a really good practice. Those guys would work under quota, but you would get Port Phillip Bay fish back on the, you know, the table for Victorians that don't like fishing.
So at the moment, I mean, there'll still be, is it 8 line caught licences for Port Phillip Bay that are mostly for snapper? So are you saying you want to increase that number?
Yeah, absolutely. And a difference, you know, they're predominantly long liners, so they're long liners.
Okay.
Snapper. And again, you know, talk about the practice. There's virtually no interaction between those guys longlining for snapper and the the people that recreational fish for snapper. And if you've ever seen Port Phillip Bay on a good day in November, you know, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of boats out there targeting snapper. It's one of those fish. I don't reckon snapper are that great eating, to be honest, but it's one of those things that just gets, if there's anything that gets the fishermen in big numbers, it's snapper, you know, because they look good, they're great to fish for, anyone can do it sort of thing. But, you know, they're long lining for them in the middle of the bay, probably at night, you know, and so there's not that interaction between the wrecks. And they certainly couldn't set a long line in the areas where recreational fishers go fishing because, you know, you can have, it's nothing to see 200 boats on a reef. So you couldn't be long lining there and not get caught up in it. So, but long lining, what I'm suggesting is that that a commercial license should be available for people to go out, and I'm not saying anyone gets this. I mean, they've got to be a fit and proper person to be a commercial fisher, but that person should be able to operate a business and catch whiting, calamari, flathead, kingfish on a rod and reel and be able to sell that commercially, either off the boat at the local boat ramp or jetty or into the local fish and chips and restaurants.
Let's talk about net fishing in the bay because that's being phased out at the start of April and that means that we'll lose access to local sardines. I mean, to me, you know, sardines are a fish you want to eat pretty much, you know, straight off the boat. You want them really fresh. I want them caught as close as possible to where I'm purchasing them from. Let's talk sardines. Like, is this as sad as I think it is?
It's worse. Yeah, it's sad. And there's no other way to describe it. You know, Phil McAdam is the only remaining guy fishing for sardines in Port Phillip Bay. There were a couple of other operators, I think, before, you know, the netting ban. And most people took, you know, the majority of the netters in the bay took the payout on day one virtually, which I think was back in 2016, the legislation passed and the buyouts happened. So Phil remained in the industry and it is sad because, again, you know, I've commented a few times about the practice and, you know, purse seining is very different to haul seining. What Phil does, catching sardines in Port Phillip Bay, has very little bycatch. So, you know, there's no damage to other fish stocks. He's not dragging the bottom through seagrass and places like that, so there's no environmental damage. And he's actually not competing with anyone else that catches pilchards, you know, or sardines, because the recreationals don't. You know, they don't have the gear to catch that species. So So unfortunately, back in 2014, when both sides of politics said we're going to ban netting in Port Phillip Bay, no one spoke, you know, the two sectors didn't speak. Had they spoken, I think the decision makers probably would have gone, hang on, sardine fishing's okay, let's exempt that from the netting ban. But that didn't happen because the parties didn't talk. And unfortunately, sardine fishing will cease on 1st of April because it's caught up in the, you know, the overall ban on, you know, net fishing in Port Phillip Bay. However, can I say this? I'm going to lobby for it to come back after the election.
Great, but, you know, I mean, I've been down to Phil McAdam's fishery down in Williamstown and, you know, once someone takes the buyout and they're not maintaining that boat, they're not maintaining their infrastructure, they're not, you know, they go and do something else, to get people back on the water when it's a tough life and you need, you know, a lot of skill and training and you need to be really embedded in that world. I mean, I just think it is so sad to lose those generational fisheries. And yeah, sure, let's lobby for them to come back. But this just seems like the most stupid decision. And it was in 2014 when the Victorian Labor government was elected on this promise. Removing net fishing in the bay was tied directly to what was called the Target 1 million election commitment. And that was Target 1 million was to get 1 million recreational people fishing in Victoria. And I mean, it's like, why? Like, you know, I just cannot deal with this. It's just so frustrating that something that everybody seems to agree is a good idea is being phased out simply because it was promised. No one really knows why. No one really seems to want it. Everyone seems to agree that it's bad. And yet here we go, the wheels just grind.
Yeah. It's there's nothing good about what's happening to Phil McAdam. There's nothing good. And, you know, I've behind the scenes, I have tried so hard to find a loophole, if you like, you know, to keep Phil going. And there isn't one. And you know, I've had so many personal conversations with we've had two ministers for fisheries in the past 8 years, being Jala Pulford and Melissa Horne, who's the current minister for fishing and boating. And I've had many conversations. I've had many conversations with the Victorian Fisheries Authority, and they're bound by legislation, and I know legislation can be undone, but it's almost like it's too late. You know, some sardine fishers have taken the payout and gone. And so if you were to overturn something to save Phil McAdam, what about the other guys that are already out? You know, this is complicated. There's no doubt about it. You know, it's kind of unfair on the guys that have already taken their payout. But so I sit back and I go, well, okay, the best solution, because we've got a resource in Port Phillip Bay that will just not be utilised at all once Phil's gone. So the best solution I say is, okay, let's get 1st of April out the way, because legislation binds everybody that there will be no netting after 1st of April. But get to the election in, say, November 2022. I'm going to try and convince both major parties that sardine fishing in Port Phillip Bay should return. And you know, it's I know it's not exactly like it, but scallop fishing in Port Phillip Bay was banned in the 90s. Now you can get scallops commercially out of Port Phillip Bay. And, you know, Bruce Collis has a licence and he's getting scallops out of Port Phillip Bay. So it's, you know, I never say never that something can't return. And I think, you know, if they issued two or three licences to do it in Port Phillip Bay as an election commitment, be brave enough to say, yep, we got this one wrong. Again, I've had the personal conversations with Phil McAdam. I'm saying, Phil, you might have to get out at 1st of April. Maybe be prepared to get back in a year's time, and maybe a couple of other guys might get in as well. And to me, that's the best and only probably solution to getting sardines back on the menu.
I mean, has there been a changing of the guard among the wreck fishers? Because it feels like if you were speaking as you're speaking now in 2013 or whatever, when we're going into the election, that perhaps this wouldn't have happened.
The main difference is we now talk to the sector. You know, that's the difference. I had not had a single conversation with a commercial netter probably before 2016, I reckon. You know, 17 maybe, when Phil McAdam came to me and said help, and I said, you know, once I understood Phil's situation, because I'd never spoken to him, never understood, never knew what he did, didn't even know he existed, to be honest. I think the wreck anglers are better educated now. The sectors are talking. You know, there's certainly been a changing of the guard at Seafood Industry Victoria. You know, there's I'm not going to comment on the new CEO because I've only met him twice, but he seems very reasonable. But certainly the new chair, Joanne Butterworth Gray, is just a great operator, a very respectful person, and the type of person I want to work with. You know, Joanne's doing great things for Seafood Industry Victoria, and there's so many things in common that the wrecks and commercials have. I want to see us working together. I want to actually help grow the corner inlet story in fishery. And you know, everybody knows Coffin Bay oysters. Well, I want everybody to know corner inlet fish. You know, because I've many friends that don't like fishing but want to eat seafood. You know, so I think that changing the guard at Seafood Industry Victoria has also contributed to we all understand a bit better now, and we want to get along. We want to see Victoria thrive.
Yes, we certainly do. I guess we're all seafood lovers. It seems to me that, you know, wreck fishers are a lobby. The people that were actually commercially fishing were a much smaller number, and seafood eaters in Victoria, like whether it's hospitality, whether it's people who like ordering seafood in restaurants or like buying fish at the market, that is not an organised lobby group, and that seems to be a problem. But I just find it really interesting that, you know, as part of the Target 1 million commitment, Victorian government promised, well, they committed 46 million in the 2014 election, and then another $35 million in the 2018 state election. And part of those, some of those commitments, I'm just looking at the list now. So part of the commitment was to halt commercial netting in Port Phillip and Corio Bay over that eight year period. But there's also a lot of stuff like specifically to assist wreck fishers, like increasing fish stocking, both recreational and like introduce some native species, reduce or take out ramp fees at where people are putting their boat in the water, school education, children's fishing programs, festivals, club grants. I mean, there's a lot of money being thrown at wreck fishing.
Yeah, yeah, and you're 100% right. And target 1 million. I mean, that's the overarching name for the program. But some of the things that have occurred, you know, and even the buyout, you know, it's contributed to Victoria. I reckon it's got the greatest fishery. But you look at a $7 million native fish hatchery is up and running. You know, the ponds are there and fish are being grown out in those ponds. The hatchery is not quite complete, but it will be. And, you know, that all contributes to we've got probably the best Murray cod fishery in Australia now, you know, in Lake Eildon. You can go there and catch 1-metre-long Murray cod. And that's through a huge stocking program. You know, it's been proven that they don't successfully breed in Lake Eildon. So through a huge stocking program into Lake Eildon that's been going on for quite some time, and might I say through a lot of purchased fish from New South Wales, Victoria's now got the capability through its own native fish hatchery to not quite reach capacity, but in a couple of years, there'll be no buying fish from New South Wales hatcheries. There'll be, you know, that will be all in house, and we're growing new Murray cod fisheries. You know, there's a big lake out at Horsham that's going to be the next. In fact, it's probably going to be better than Lake Eildon in a few years' time once that establishes itself. So we're seeing that, and we will see the return of trout cod. I mean, you can't catch trout cod apart from two small lakes where they're stocked, but that really hasn't worked. You know, we will see trout cod not be endangered anymore and will be in people's frying pans, I am sure, in 5, 6, 7 years. You know, so some of those things are really good activities. And can I also, you compare Victoria to other states. You know, you go to South Australia, there's a closed season on snapper. In fact, there's a ban on fishing for snapper because they've depleted their stocks. They've overfished it. And that doesn't happen in Victoria. You go to Tasmania, there's a closed season for calamari. That doesn't happen in Victoria because we have well-managed fisheries where Victoria's regulated by bag and size limits and also the buyout of netting. So, you know, and I talk to my counterparts in Tasmania. I go, why have you got a closed season in Tasmania? And they go, well, you know, they closed parts of the state to commercial fishing for calamari, but they didn't take any operators out of the system, so they all moved to another part of Tasmania to fish. And well, what happened there? They depleted the stock and now they have to have a closed season. And we don't want that to happen in Victoria.
What are your thoughts around, like, the compliance of recreational fishers in terms of size and bag limits?
Well, if you talked with the Victorian Fisheries Authority and their officers, they say compliance is really high. There's always bad eggs in every bunch, but they say compliance is very, very high. And we've actually got pretty generous bag and size limits. I mean, you can catch 20 King George Whiting. That's 40 fillets. That's a lot of fish and a highly prized fish that's very expensive in the markets if, you know, for the people that don't go fishing. So we've actually got pretty generous, bag and sizes. But when it comes to, say, southern bluefin tuna, we've got tight bag limits. You know, you can do 100 kilometres for two fish and that's it, you know. So I think, you know, like I go back to what I just said, we've got well-managed fisheries and I think they've got the balance right on pretty much every species.
I guess, you know, the more recreational fishers there are, that's great for people such as yourself who own tackle shops or other people that work in the recreational fishing industry. What about the impacts on the loss of commercial fisheries to the broader economy?
Yeah, good question. And look, I actually really don't like talking about people's livelihoods because it's it's not nice. It's similar though, and whether it's whether most people agree with me, you know, people used to work in the Ford factory in Geelong, but there's no more manufacturing of cars in Australia, and things change, and so bay and inlet netting is gone. Things change, and unfortunately, you know, the people that worked in that industry no longer work in that industry in you know, bays and inlets anyway. The other thing I would say, and again, people may argue with me over this, I go down to my local fish shop, and I've got one about, you know, less than a kilometre from work. There's no shortage of seafood, it doesn't appear to be. You know, there is flathead, there is whiting, there is calamari, and they don't seem to be in short supply at fish shops. So, you know, there's still a very, very big commercial fishery in Victoria, but it's offshore. It's the Commonwealth, you know, and of course, Corner Inlet. I mean, it's still, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tons of fish are coming out of Corner Inlet. And they're those bread and butter species as well. So, you know, recreational's got it good in Victoria. We've got great fisheries, good, you know, they're in good condition. There's no shortage of fish, but we haven't got that bad interaction with the netting, you know, practice. And there's still plenty of seafood available in the fish shops.
I mean, there is a lot of seafood, but I think it's more than 70% of the fish that we eat in Victoria is imported. And I mean, those catch limits in the bay and some of those species you mentioned are about to be reduced as well. And I think the Corner Inlet seafood it's a pretty premium product. Like, I know that it goes into, you know, some of the markets, but also a lot of, you know, top restaurants. I don't know if it's the kind of sort of daily accessible fish. I mean, I think, you know, we'd love Victorians to be eating more fish overall and to have more of it available and more local fish available. I mean, do you think, I mean, is the solution that more people, do I need to actually get onto the water? Is that the best way for me to get local fish?
Well, like I say, I can go down to my fish shop any time of the year and buy whiting, calamari and flathead. So it's got to be coming from somewhere. Now, you know, I often see big garfish down at the seafood shop because I do like looking in the seafood shop. I've got a fascination with fish every day of my life, you know. So, and they tell me they come from Tasmania, you know. So, yes, there's still, you know, and I presume most of Tasmania would be in offshore waters as well. You know, there's not a lot of bays and inlets down there. So I struggle to say there's no, you know, for anyone that says there's a shortage of seafood, because there's lots of seafood. You go to Springvale Market, go to the Melbourne markets. Those species are there. They've got to be coming from somewhere, and they're not importing from outside of Australia King George whiting and flathead or calamari, you know.
But I mean, those limits are changing on the 1st of April as far as some of those species from Port Phillip Bay. So perhaps we will see a reduction in what's available in the local fish shops, and then I suppose they'll be forced to look further afield for fish. I just find it crazy. It's like there's, you know, petrol's going through the roof. We want food from close by. I want local sardines on my plate in local restaurants. And I know you agree with me. I know you'd love to see that as well. And just to be clear, you know, for the listeners, there's no recreational sardine fishing, is there? Like, that is just really not an option.
Absolutely not. So, you know, it's the only source. If you want Port Phillip Bay sardines, the only way to get them is Phil McAdam's net. And we go back to saying how sad that is that that's going to end, you know. So I guess my solutions, if you want commercial Port Phillip Bay fish, two things. One, we've got to get the sardine fishery re-established once the buyouts are all finished, unfortunately, because that's the legislation. And two, I want to see line caught permits back in Port Phillip Bay so that fish are commercially harvested under a quota, under some, you know, some code of practice regulations like the Corner Inlet guys are doing, you know, which may be, you know, stop fishing on a Friday afternoon, don't start fishing until Sunday night, those sort of practices. And I think both sectors could exist in Port Phillip Bay in the future if that happens. And you know, that will free up tons and tons and tons of fish to go into the commercial, yeah, into the markets and be sold. And I genuinely want to see that happen, but I don't want to turn the nets into Port Phillip Bay.
Except some sardine nets.
Except for some sardines. And that's a completely different practice, okay. You know. So, yeah, I want to see that back, you know. And I also want to point out, like, yes, I run tackle shops, but I, you know, I've been a director of the Future Fish Foundation for about 18 years. I started on 3RW. Oh, in fact, I did the 3RW fishing show for 6 years. Before that, I did a community radio station. You know, I've only been in a tackle shop 10 years. So it was kind of like, hey, I want to work in this industry that I'm already, you know, kind of working in media and you know, and running a not-for-profit. You know, I joined a tackle shop because I love working in the industry, and that's what I chose to do. But it was well after I was on the bandwagon of, you know, banning netting and making Victoria a better place to fish for recreationals, you know. So I've got a passion for it. Yeah, people say to me, oh, you do it because you work in a tackle shop. No, I was doing this long before I worked in a tackle shop. But it's so pleasing working in a tackle shop and having customers come in and say, oh, gee, I got my bag limit of whiting this weekend, you know, down at Hastings or whatever. It's so good to see people that are enjoying what's one of the last outdoor activities that people can do, you know. So many people are stuck indoors or playing games on computers and things like that. It is one of the last things that a young child can go and do with their grandfather and you know, not outskill them. The grandfather's better, you know. It's one of the last things that you can do.
What's your favourite fish to catch, David?
Oh, yellowtail kingfish by far. You know, the excitement, the thrill of the catch and the edibility, it's 11 out of 10.
I love it. And are they running at the moment?
Oh, I haven't caught one this season. I reckon I can see them on my sounder. Yeah, very limited places to fish in Victoria for yellowtail kingfish, and it's very seasonal. The water temperature's right, the conditions are right, there's lots of live bait around. I just haven't caught one this season. It's killing me.
Oh, well, good luck. Hope there's one around the corner. Thank you so much for chatting to me today. It's, you know, it's a bit of a vexed topic. It's great to know that there are lots of meeting places for all the people that want to eat fresh local seafood. And even though I feel like this situation that's right in front of us is incredibly frustrating, hopefully there are better times ahead. But, yeah, thanks so much for laying it all out for us today on Dirty Linen, David. Really appreciate your time and your insights.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a good cause, and we've got to get some more seafood back on the tables for Victorians.
This is Dirty Linen, and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.